Plato. Welcome to this special podcast of Science Friday from sciencefriday.com. Two new papers out in the journal Science this week point to the same conclusion about global climate change. To sum it up, the horse is already out of the barn. Even if we were to drastically cut our current levels of greenhouse gas emissions, the Earth's temperature would continue to rise, and so will its sea levels. Joining me now to talk more about the predictions is the author of one of the science papers, Gerald Meehl, senior scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Meehl.
Thanks.
Hi there. How much has the sea level risen already?
The estimates are for the 20th century around 15 to 20 centimeters, and we think about at least half of that was due to the melting of glaciers and ice sheets, and then part of that was also due to thermal expansion, which is just the seawater expanding as the temperature increases.
Mm-hmm. And if we do nothing, how much is it going to rise?
Well, our experiments we did with two of our models indicate that if we could stabilize concentrations of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere at year 2000 values, that we're already committed to another half a degree, roughly, globally average temperature increase, and about another 10 centimeters of sea level rise just from thermal expansion, and that has no contributions from ice sheets or glaciers melting.
So 10 centimeters, what, how many inches is that?
Maybe, 5 inches
or
so.
Yeah. And let's talk about the models, because we, one of the criticisms about science and especially how it relates to global warming is that the models are not accurate. What goes into making a model?
Well, these models we're using are the high-end tools we use to see if we can get an idea of what could happen in the future under various scenarios of climate change. They include interactive components of atmosphere, ocean, sea ice, and land surface. They include as much detail as we can possibly put into them and still be able to run them on the fastest supercomputers we've got. But they're able to simulate a lot of what we see going on in the climate system today. They're able to generate El Nino events, for example, decadal variability and other aspects of the climate system that give us confidence that we can at least look to them to give us some guidance as to what could happen in the future.
So they successfully predict what we see, so you think that the future.
Yeah, and that's one of the other things that we look for is we put in the ingredients that we know already affected the climate system over the 20th century. These are produced by human activities such as anthropogenic greenhouse gases, sulfate aerosols, and ozone, and also natural changes like changes in solar input and volcanoes. And when we include time-varying fluctuations of all those ingredients, the model does a pretty credible job of simulating what we've already observed in the 20th century. So that gives us even more confidence that we can look to them for future indications.
Well, why is there a lag time between what's happening now and in the what happens in the future?
Well, it's just a simple property of water, that water takes longer to heat up than air. And so when you apply a warming to the system, the air is the first thing that warms up, and then that heating just takes longer to heat up the water. In other words, the world's oceans then just take longer to heat up, and that introduces this lag in the system, with regards to sea level rise, because as the heating works its way down through the depth of the ocean, and that water then heats up and expands, that just continues to increase sea levels.
Are we seeing, physically, can we see the sea levels rise?
Well, we've already seen it in the 20th century, I think the message that we're seeing from these studies is that right now, even if we could stabilize concentrations of greenhouse gases, we're committed to a future climate change that's kind of already in the system. Therefore, this climate change commitment aspect of the climate system, I think, is something that a lot of people aren't really fully aware of the consequences.
Yeah, I guess people might have to start moving to higher ground.
Well, somebody would say, well, a few inches of sea level rise isn't much, and maybe a small temperature increase isn't much. But a lot of times where we really see the impacts of relatively small changes in average climate are during extreme events. So during high tides or storm surges, when those occur on top of a mean sea level rise that's already occurred due to some other cause, the impacts are more severe. Same thing with increases of temperature. For example, heat waves become more severe when you have an average temperature increase that they're occurring kind of superimposed on top of.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the take-home message here is it's here, it's here and it's happening. Get used to it.
Well, the longer we wait, the more severe the problem is, because we, for each passing year that that we experience more increases of greenhouse gases in the system, that's just more future climate change we're committed to.
Well, Dr. Meehl, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us. Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot.
Gerald Meehl is a senior scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks for listening. Remember to visit ScienceFriday.com for more information on this topic and every topic we talk about on Science Friday. See you next time. I'm Ira Flatow.